We're going to look at something here this morning about the mind. We're going to start in Romans 8, but we're going to eventually, as we go through this, we're going to look a little bit at where, the mind, there's a classic battle, let's put it that way, that every one of us experience because we were born again and the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of us, and He's in there to guide us. Yes. One of His functions, one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to lead us, yes, direct our lives. Yes, we're not like the world. We're just guess and go.
Right.
Yeah, I hope this is right. I hope, I hope this is what God wants me to do, or I hope I'm making the right decision in my family, my marriage, my, marrying the right person, whatever, taking the right job, whatever. The world just sort of, goes up into their mind, reaches up for what seems like a good idea, or however they decide, And they just guess and go. But we see and know. We have the teacher on the inside, the guide on the inside, to lead us and guide us into all truth. Bear witness. We're going to read Romans here, Romans 8. Bear witness with our spirit. And we have somebody that's a father that's taken care of us, has our best interest at heart. When we were under Satan's domain, he was not on our side. We were under his dominion, but he was not for us. He's going about stealing, killing, and destroying, And he's not for us. But our Father today, our Father God, we've been born again. God's now our Father. He's on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? He's not against us. He's for us. Amen. People think that God's mad at America. No, he's still for America. And so we gotta look at this anyway. But as he guides, and he has an interest in our well-being, and he wants to guide us in all the affairs of life. And we see here in Romans 8, it says something about this in verse 14: as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You could look at that verse and know that God wants to guide his children. All of his sons, all of his children. God actually promises to lead all his children by his Spirit. Amen. These things belong to all of God's children. For you to have direction by the Spirit of God. And it says here, he leads us, doesn't really tell us in this verse how. But if you jump down to verse number 16, it tells you how. The main way. Now, I'm talking about after the Word of God. There's no leading ever going to be from the Spirit of God living in your spirit that's going to be against the Word.
That's right.
People say, I'm led to do this. Well, I notice that's against the Word, No, that's their mind. That's their flesh. But anyway, the main way God leads us is through His written Word. If the Bible says it, you don't need to pray about it. Just walk in the light of what the Word says. The Bible said, don't be unequally yoked together. Well, if the Bible says don't do that, then you don't need to pray about marrying a sinner, And there's just things people are praying about that they open themselves to deception because the Bible already gave them the answer. And they might hear a direction or a voice all right, but it won't be God. Anyway, so verse 16 tells us how He guides us. The Spirit, King James says itself, how many Jesus said, He, the Spirit of truth, has come. He's a person. We could say the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that doesn't tell us how, but verse 16 says how. He leads us by bearing witness with our spirit. That's not a voice. God does have a voice. The Spirit does have a voice. He can talk.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I've told you stories about how the Lord spoke to me in different ways beyond the witness, but that's not the main way.
Right.
The main. Sometimes those things are because danger is ahead.
Yes.
Or there's going to be that you need something more authoritative to hold you steady because of what's coming. But mainly you got the Word of God, number one. You got the inner witness, number two. And that's not even a voice. It's just an inner knowing. The Bible describes it as an inner knowing, an inner peace, The Bible calls it an unction. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. There's different ways. And we go through that. There's a series, I say in the bookstore, but it's online in the gym vault, called How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
There's another one called How to Develop the Human Spirit.
Right.
If you don't know, we're going to just look at this briefly this morning. But we're going to get into some things about a classic battle that each of us fight. But I just want you to have some of the new ones. I want you to have a foundation. Maybe we're not going to spend the time to give you here in this service about how to be led by the Spirit of God. You and I have the potential to never miss it again. I didn't say we have never missed it. I said we have the potential to never miss it again. I'm moving for that potential. Don't you want to move closer and closer? I'm not missing it as much as I used to. I know that. Making wrong decisions. You know what I'm talking about. So, but here's, he said, the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Leadings belong to you as a birthright.
Amen.
That's part of what you have in Christ. You can expect to be led. Hallelujah. Now, it's possible for his children to have a leading but not follow it. You know, reject it.
Yeah.
Notice this verse here. It doesn't say, as many as he leads. So I said, no, that's what it said. No. He didn't say, as many as he leads. He said, as many as are led.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the difference? As many as he leads. God could lead you by the inner witness about something. You understand? But you not follow. Amen. We're talking about renewing the mind. We're going to get to the mind here in a little bit. Main reason that we don't follow is because of the rational mind. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would I do that? Why would I go to that church? My mama didn't go there. My daddy doesn't go there. None of my relatives. In fact, nobody ever in my family speaks in tongues. I mean, God, that doesn't make sense. That can't be God. I mean, grandma's tears are on the altar down there at the Methodist church. I mean, you know, that's got to be where God's leading me to go. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. People are led. They claim to be following God, but they're led by circumstances. So they're led by things in the natural world. Why? Because their mind is more dominant than their spirit man. What do you mean, my spirit man? We'll go to 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to just give a little bit of foundation here. We've gone through these many times. But for the new ones, for the sake of those who maybe haven't heard, we want to go to a couple of verses here. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. One of the greatest things I can do for you as a pastor is help you to identify where God leads you. I mean, if you can get that, you've won. All of a sudden, you've won a big battle, and you're gonna be further ahead in a lot of issues in life. But most Christians aren't taught how to be led by the Spirit of God. Most Christians, most churches are just real fuzzy on how to do this. How does God talk to us? All right, 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse number 23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means entirely. All right, he's getting ready to list our three parts of our being, and he says this is our entire being. Holy means entirely. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're a three-part being. Psychologists try to identify or separate man's different parts, and they'll say he's a mind and he's a body, or he's a soul or a body, or they don't recognize the third part of man's being. They recognize his body. Everybody understands the body, but they don't, and they recognize that man has a mind. And a psyche, they call it the soul, the emotions and so forth, and that's correct, he does. Actually, this verse says soul. The soul's made up of three parts. It's made up of mind, will, and emotions. Your mind, your soul consists of your mind. That's your rational mind. You can, when you go out of here, you can pull down here, whenever you pull out of this street, and you look both ways, oh, there's a car coming. So your mind thinks, well, I better stay here till that car gets past. That's your mind, right? Now, we all know that. But then there's a deeper part of the soul called the emotions.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Come on. Right.
Amen. When you just rationally decided to wait until that cargo went by, you didn't cry and get emotional about it. You just, but there is an emotional part of our being. So the soul's made up mind, will, and emotions. All right. So then the spirit man, he said, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. So the spirit man is the part that the psychologists don't want to recognize. Because if they do, they've got to recognize, they've got to acknowledge God. They don't want to do that. I mean, no, we're just God, you know, blah, blah, blah. We don't know, blah, 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 blah. We don't want to know anything about that. But they recognize there's a deeper part of man. And some of them will even say there's a deeper part of man. We don't know for sure what it is. Those that have a little bit of honesty. And that's the part that Christians need to develop. That's the part that God talks to. That's the part that God leads man through. His spirit, Romans 8:16, his spirit bears witness with our what? Our soul. No, he's bear witness with our spirit. He doesn't give us a feeling in our body. I just feel like God heard me. That doesn't have a thing in the world whether God heard you or not. People are following feelings. People are following emotions. And they've not divided these things from the spirit of man. And so following God has been a hit and miss proposition for them. Well, I'm about 50-50. Well, that's just as good as anybody who's... I mean, nobody can improve on 50-50. You know what I'm talking about? So we got to dig around in this a little bit. Most Christians have never really, you know, Hebrews 4. In fact, go over there. Hebrews chapter number 4 tells us something that we need to do. It talks about the word of God in Hebrews 4. It's quick and powerful. Let's go to verse number 12. The word of God is alive. Quick means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing. Get this wording. The dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So they're not the same thing then. People use that in the church world as a whole. They use that term soul interchangeably with the spirit. But they're not the same thing. Notice he said we're to have the word of God here. He said is able to divide between soul and spirit. Why do people not divide between soul and spirit? Because they don't have the word of God in them. Because the word of God would divide that. Soul and spirit. Now notice. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Well, we know what that is. That's the body. So he's saying the word of God will help you divide and discern the difference between the spirit, the soul, and the body. In other words, he'll help you identify, the word of God, excuse me, will help you identify the different voices of your three parts. Your spirit has a voice. It's called conscience. Your soul has a voice, a couple of voices. One's emotion is emotion. And then... your soul has the rational, the voice of the rational mind. And then the body has a voice called feeling. You can take your fist and hit your neighbor and they feel that. And that voice communicates to them, he just hit me. She just hit me. I know we're starting out slow, but we're taking a little time to bring some of the new ones along, you know. So God doesn't guide man through his body, through his feelings, emotions, or his rational mind. Now, I remember I started out saying that this we're going to talk about a classic battle that every one of us have to fight. And the big battle that really that people talk about spiritual warfare where we need to fight the devil. Well, he's already defeated. Amen. The battle is not necessarily between God and the devil. The battle is between truth and lies. People believe in lies rather than believe in the truth. But anyway, that's a whole other subject. But there's another battle. The main spiritual warfare that the New Testament, the epistles of the New Testament talk about is not against the devil. Although we understand we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities. But see, you read the word wrestle and you get off if you're not careful. Because you read the word wrestle and you think, that's right, we got to wrestle with the devil. Well, keep on reading, and then it keeps on saying, and having done all to stand, 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 therefore.
Yes.
Stand is mentioned, I think, four times or five, whatever. It's been a few years since I've counted. Four times, I believe. Stand is mentioned, or withstand.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And wrestle's mentioned once. So emphasize standing more than wrestling.
Yes. Yes, sir.
The devil's defeated.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you the battle you're dealing with. It's between the rational mind and the conscience or the spirit, the voice of your spirit, or the inner witness, which is the witness with your spirit. A lot of times, if you read Romans 9:1, Paul brings a little more understanding to it. A lot of times the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, and then our conscience passes it on to our mind. Our spirit knows things that our mind doesn't know, because he's in contact with God. Our mind's not in contact with God. Now, he can be enlightened through what the Spirit of God in our spirit passes on to our spirit, and then it can float up to our mind. But here's the classic battle. When it floats up to our mind picks it up, our rational mind picks it up, turns it over a few times, said, well, that couldn't be God. Because. And we start listing things. Now, let me give you an example. Pastor Debbie, whenever she was, we hadn't met yet. We got married after Bible school. But we both went to the Rainbow Bible Training Center. And before I met her, of course, she was living in Kansas City. She gotten back right with God, back in fellowship, and she was helping in her local church, growing spiritually, just starting to move forward again, and spiritually. And so, but then she's a youth leader. She's a helper, assistant with was a junior high or a senior high, both helper in both youth departments. And then she had just taken, her dad had just started a new business. That was afterwards. Okay, so the business part was afterwards. Okay, but she was filling me in this morning, so it wasn't me that made the mistake. It was her that made the mistake. So, but anyway, she had just started a new position. And then she had somebody that, I guess they were out of the youth department or somebody, that she was mentoring and sort of discipling, you know, bringing them along spiritually, that she felt responsible for. And in the middle of all that, and she's just thriving, growing, and moving forward in the plan of God for her life. But in the middle of all that, God spoke to her about going to Rhema, going to Rhema Bible Training Center. She had been listening to Dad Hagin on the Faith Seminar of the Air, the radio broadcast, every day at lunchtime. And then when that was done, she'd get out in him or some little book, you know. And she just was so hungry. She was growing spiritually. But the Lord began to witness with her spirit. And even somebody that she knew talked to her about the Bible school, began to witness with her spirit about going to Bible school, going to Rainbow Bible Training Center. Well, she turned it over a few times. And then she, in her, you know, it floated up out of her spirit. You understand the way these things work. God will start dealing with you deeper than your mind. Down deeper. And it'll float up to your mind to enlighten your mind. Not to be analyzed, not to rationally decide whether that's God or not, but it's there to enlighten your mind so that you can act on it. It didn't. The source of the information was not your mind. The source of it was down here deeper. Now, why do I keep pointing down here? Because your head's up here on your shoulders, right? I mean, that's easy. We're revelating today, right? Your head's up here on your shoulders. But the Bible says, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Proverbs 20:27. Write that verse down, especially if you're new. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Which part of his man? Which part of the man? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That just simply means that's where he's going to enlighten you. We don't have candles today. We have light bulbs. Back then they used candles to enlighten or lighten the room, you know. So that means he's going to enlighten you in your spirit. He's going to guide you. He's going to make known his will to you in your spirit. So the spirit of man, now notice, there's the candle of the Lord. Now keep on reading. Searching all the inward parts of what? The belly. Do you have a literal candle in your stomach? No, he's talking about the spirit man. That's why Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This spoke he of the spirit. Are you with me still?
Yes,
laying a foundation so we can get to where we need to get today here. So with what the Holy Ghost is going to do, he's going to bear witness with your spirit, pass on the information to your spirit. It'll float up to your mind to enlighten your mind, not to analyze it.
Yeah.
God never intended that you and I take what he's bearing witness with our spirit to analyze whether it's God or not, or decide whether we're going to do it or not. It's to enlighten us, because your mind has to know what to do to make steps and obey God. So it's there just to enlighten you, not to dominate your spirit and put out the light. So that's what happened to her. It floated up out of her spirit that she was to go to Bible school. And so, you know, well, she thought, well, I got all these, I got this job, I got this responsibility in my youth department, I've got this person I'm discipling, you know, there's a lot of people dependent on me, I can't do that right now. So she put it out. And that kept coming to her. So finally she got an application.
Okay.
And she's fighting this battle. Tell your neighbor, I know all about this battle right here. I don't mean fight like this, but I mean there's two parts of her being that are trying to take the lead here. That's what I mean, the battle. Who's going to be dominant? Who's going to be listened to? Which one am I going to choose? It's a classic battle everybody's got to fight. So it would float up. So finally she said, well, I'll get the application. She filled out the application, filled it all out. And said, but there's too many people I'm responsible for. Wadded it up and threw it in the trash can. Now, you've never been through this battle between her heart, I mean your heart and your mind. What do we mean heart? The heart is the spirit of man. That's another word in the Bible for the spirit of man. So, but she'd get quiet again and there it would come up again. So after a day and a half, she went into the trash can, got it out of the trash can, all wrinkled up, you know. She tried to flatten it out and level it out and make it, and turned it in. She put it in the envelope and sent it into Rhema Bible Training Center, all wrinkled up, you know. All. I just wonder how many spirit schools get wrinkled up applications, you know. Head schools probably don't get any, but spirit schools probably get a lot of wrinkled up applications. The people reading the applications probably, oh, here's another one with a battle going on. So she finally got it in and they accepted her. And then people would say, you know, but you can't. But she said, no, I got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. There's always something that says you can't do it. There's always circumstances, circumstantial evidence that said, no, you can't do that. That's not you. How? And your mind's going to go. Bzz, bzz, bzz. I mean, you ever fought that battle? You wake up in the middle of the night and bzz, your mind's just thinking. You got to shut that mind down and listen on the inside rather than try to figure it all out. So that's what I want to spend some time talking to you about. As many as are led. He didn't say as many as he leads.
Yeah.
See, we've all gone through what Pastor Debbie did there in that application process. But some passed that test and some flunk.
Yeah.
He led them.
Yeah. Come on.
But they were not led.
Yeah.
In other words, they didn't respond to that. They tried to, in their mind, they tried to decide whether it was God or not, put out the light that came up out of their spirit. Amen. So it's one thing to receive a leading within your spirit, but it's another thing entirely to follow that leading. In other words, to respond and let the Spirit of God move you along on the course and the plan that He has for your life. Some leadings don't seem significant, but they're huge. Some of the greatest leads, sometimes people say, well, if it's a bigger leading, you know, I need a little bit. I mean, if it's a bigger decision, I need a little bit more than the inner witness. Well, not according to the Bible.
Right.
You don't need a bigger. Somebody said, well, I just need maybe an angel choir come down or, you know, something to happen. I need God to speak audibly to me. But see, what that is. Why do people want that? Because they don't trust what they already know.
Yeah. Yeah.
God's trying to wean us off of. Or let me put it this way. He's trying to wean us. Let me finish the way I was going to say. He's trying to wean us off of trying to figure it all out. Yeah. And he's trying to get us to trust what we already know.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
If you and I get quiet, there's a lot of things we already know.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's so true.
There's a lot of things we already know. Now, I didn't say our head has said yes yet. No, I didn't say our head has jumped up and down and said, I completely understand this and I'm in full agreement. There's times that our heart knows something that our head doesn't agree with yet.
Amen.
It's the classic battle between the heart and the head. I have watched multitudes because they're not taught correctly. Now, you can be taught, but you're not skilled in it yet. It's a whole different thing to live this than to preach it. Yeah. So, but I've watched multitudes. God spoke to them. God witnessed with them. They knew where they were to go. They knew what they were to do. They knew what his plan was. They knew. I've had people come and say, God actually spoke to me audibly. Now, that's not the inner witness, but I've had people say, God actually spoke to me audibly and told me what to do. And within 3 years, there they are going and doing the opposite. And they wonder why their life is still floundering. Amen. Because, well, you know, this happened and that happened. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with anything.
That's right.
Well, that door was closed. That doesn't have anything to do with anything. We don't follow open and closed doors. Now, obviously, if God has something for us, he's going to open the door. But there are things he speaks to our heart or bears witness with our heart about that the door's closed. And you have to stand there and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to open. And it will. God will get it done. But you just don't go by open and closed doors. Circumstantial evidence is what I'm saying. Well, that can't be God. The door's closed. Or that has to be God. The door's open. Like I say all the time, the door to your local tavern's open all the time. Doesn't mean it's God's will that you go in there. Start drinking. Pastor Jay, you're preaching all right. Okay, good. I'll keep it up. All right. So there's things we've got to study here. How many of you know when you have a knowing on the inside of what to do, it takes faith to step out on that leading, to respond to that and to say, I'm going with that. Amen. You're going to have to exercise faith. But a lot of people would rather God just put like a little remote control, you know, device down in their spirits. And just, you know, they're sort of a robot, you know, they got, rather than use their faith. Amen. They just rather sort of God make them do things or kind of make them a robot. There's a little device in them that they just do it. Like whenever God says this as well, they just automatically just do it. Wouldn't have to use any faith. But see, whenever you have a witness and you step out in faith, I mean, when you have a witness and you start going that direction, it's going to take faith. Because a lot of times the head is going to come up with all sorts of reasons why this isn't going to work or this isn't the right decision. Just like Pastor Debbie's situation about going to Rhema. Now, in that situation, it was even good things. Discipling people is right, isn't it? Working in the youth department for her, in that case, was his plan for her, and that was right for her. Amen. Helping, you know, so forth. But see, even good things that God has had for us in seasons past don't determine where we're going in the future. How many of you know if we're faithful, he'll progress us into the best he has for us? And she would never have fulfilled God's plan staying where she was. That nothing against that church or anything, but his plan for her. How many of you know that plan was for her to get more rooted into the Word? I'll be honest with you. A lot of people maybe don't know it, but I don't think she'd be alive today if she didn't go to Rhema. Because it's the Word that's kept her out, gotten her out of a couple of situations that, to be honest with you, were not, well, let's put it this way, they were serious business. Amen. So thank God she obeyed.
Amen.
See, a lot of times people get into situations, how I get here. Well, the way you got there was way back here. You couldn't figure out why God was leading you that direction, so you didn't go that direction. And that's why people sometimes they don't understand the seriousness when God leads them where to go to church. Well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, this one's closer and so forth and so on. It can be life and death where you go to church. Now, I'm not just preaching coming to this church. If God told you to be somewhere else, we insist you go where God told you to be. Or where you're supposed to be. Where you have that witness in your spirit. Isn't that right? We're not the only ones in the body of Christ. So we want to know what the Spirit of God's saying to us. So this here in verse number 16 here tells us that he leads us by the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. How many of you know we're the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says we are. And the Holy Spirit is in there. He's on the job. Do you realize that you don't need to pray, God, show me what to do? You don't need to pray that the Holy Spirit would guide you. According to Romans 8, verse 14 and 16, he already is. Amen. He's in there bearing witness with your spirit. Or else the Bible lied about it. The Spirit of God had Paul write, his spirit bears witness with your spirit. In your spirit right now, he's bearing witness with your spirit. Well, but I don't know what to do. See, you got to dip deeper than your mind. Your mind might not know what to do, but your spirit knows things your mind doesn't know. The issue is not getting God or getting the Holy Spirit to bear witness with you. The issue is tuning in to where he's leading. People are tuned into the circumstantial world. They're tuned into the mind, the mental, or rational, or emotional realm. Well, I can't do that because of this or that. And so, you know, they say, I just don't know what to do. I can't do that. I don't know what to do. Well, you do know what to do. You do know what to do. You know, there's, for example, you could say, you could be out in the middle of a desert and say, I just don't have any water. You know, most of the time within 100 or 200 feet down, there's water.
Yeah.
And there's flows of water deeper than the surface of the earth sometimes. And the same thing's true with the inner witness. The flow of his leadings are deeper than your intellectual mind. You just got to get this thing quiet. And dip deeper. And in fact, most Christians have not prayed long enough in tongues to know where that's coming from. To quiet their mind and dip down in here. And where that's coming from, if you'll locate where that's coming from, you'll locate your spirit. And if you locate your spirit and train yourself to look within before you make decisions, you'll be further along. I'm further along than everybody I graduated from high school with. Although they're all Christians. In fact, that revival went through my high school, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Many of them got filled with the Holy Ghost. And spiritually, naturally, in life, health, strength, physically, mentally, so forth, in victory in many areas, financially, many areas, way beyond where they are. But not because I went on and educated my head real big. Nothing wrong with educating your head. God can lead you to get a degree, get a education of some sort. I'm not preaching against that. I'm just simply saying don't educate your head at the expense of your heart. Don't develop a big intellect. But your spirit's not developed. See, that's what the Bible preaches is spiritual growth. What do you mean spiritual growth? The growth of the spirit of man. Where he becomes more dominant. All right, let's keep on going because we're going a little slower than I planned to go here. So you really don't have to pray that the Holy Spirit will lead you. He's already in there. Make that confession. He's bearing witness with my spirit now. Amen. The Bible said so. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. And somebody said, well, yeah, that's just about that we're the children of God. Well, notice the next verse. And. Verse 17. And. In other words, he's bearing witness with more, with your spirit, about more than just that you're a child of God. I've had him bear witness with me where something that was lost was that I had lost. Amen. You might think this is strange. Some of the little, some of the minute details of life, he'll bear witness with you about.
That's right.
Yeah, he will. I decided yesterday, it was kind of a nice day. I said, now this just, to some of you will be strange, but see, the Lord will help you enjoy life. He really will. Amen. Looking at some of you, you must not be following the Lord or something like that. I'm kidding. Amen. Just keeping some of you awake. But some of the littlest things. I was yesterday, I decided, I said, Pastor Debbie, you want to go on a walk? I didn't call her Pastor Debbie. To me, she's Debbie. I got around the relatives a couple months ago, and Pastor Debbie was over there doing something. I said, Pastor Debbie, and they laughed. I said, I'm sorry, it's a habit. You know, I call her that. She's sweetie. But I asked her, do you want to go on a walk? She said, decided not to. So I said, I'm going on a walk. We got that land. And so I'm going on a walk, and I had a prompting to take a particular trail. So I'm going to go that trail. But while I'm walking past another trail that went down to one of the food plots, oh, I got to go down and see the food plot. But I had that prompting. Don't go down there. Go over here. You might think that's strange. But I've just developed my spirit to follow the slightest little things. And so I followed the high trail. And I got around, rather than go down to the food plot, I stayed up where I kind of had the unction to go. And I found the first shed antler I've ever found on our land laying up there on the trail. I thought, I'd have missed that. The Lord knew I would have enjoyed that today. Now to you, that's just, you know, but see, you just don't know how good he is. That's why. Hallelujah. It's not life and death decision. It's not a, you know, but it's just something. He'll help you enjoy life. He'll show you where the good life is, you know. Praise the Lord. The only one I've ever found. Looked all over yesterday and didn't find any other ones. Anyway, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of things. While you're praying for God to direct you, the Spirit of God is in you already trying to pass the information on to your spirit. It's not a matter of him not being on the job. I mean, is he bearing witness or is he not? Bible said he is. So it's not a matter of him getting over on the unemployment line looking for a job. No, he's actually on the job. He's on the job. He's in there. And what's he doing? One of the things, he's doing several things, but one of the things, he's bearing witness with your spirit.
Yes, sir.
And letting you know things that your mind doesn't know. Yes, so when you pray, Lord, show me what to do, really you ought to put your faith more on, Lord, help me to recognize where you're leading me down here. Help me to dip down, quiet my mind, and sense what you're saying to me down here. All right. So, hallelujah. Now, I, as a result of not being trained to follow the Spirit, a lot of men tend to formulate a plan in their own natural mind without consulting their heart or the inner witness. Now, some people don't want to consult the inner witness because they don't want what God wants. We won't even talk about them today because we want what God wants, right? Amen. So, but a lot of people aren't trained to follow the inner witness. They have gone to church maybe all their life, but they've never been really taught how God really guides. And so it's real fuzzy. It's real fuzzy. You listen to some teaching, it's real fuzzy. How does God guide us? People are real fuzzy about it. But so people that aren't taught and trained to look to the inner witness, they tend to look more to the natural mind than the circumstantial world. And when they make decisions rather than to their heart. Because when that tries to come up from their heart, they're so used to their mind dominating them that they don't know how to unhook from that. I'm telling you, it can be a battle sometimes. I spend more faith on this than I do to get direction. I don't know if you understand that statement. I spend more of my faith getting unhooked from my mind. When I'm needing to know what to do in situations, I spend more of my faith getting unhooked from my intellect and getting hooked up down here. Finding that down here. And it takes quieting the mind, and it takes, I'll tell you something that'll help you, is not only will it help you to quiet the mind, a lot of Christians have never learned to do that. In fact, that's why a lot of Christians can't sleep. They're not sleeping very well. It's because they're not quieting the mind. You quiet your mind, you're going to start cutting Z's like a chainsaw buzzing through an oak tree. Forgive my country boy expressions, you know. Hallelujah. That's the big battle. There's three reasons Christians can't sleep. Their physical body's in pain or something. That can keep you from sleep. Or something's not right in their physical body. Something's not right in their mind. I mean, their mind's just buzzing, or they're thinking a lot, they can't shut that thing down. Or their conscience is bothering them. Decide which one it is and fix it and cut Z's. Your conscience bothering you means God's trying to talk to you about something, but you don't want to listen. And I have been there. But tell your neighbor, he's getting there this morning. A lot of Christians haven't learned to do that. And as a result, they miss God, because they're looking for God to guide them in ways that he's really not going to guide them. And they keep thinking God's going to lead one way, you know, maybe through circumstances or something, or maybe through, you know, okay, I'm going to church, somebody's going to prophesy to me. If you get a lot of prophecies to guide you, don't think it's because you're spiritual. The Lord will confirm things through that. Well, I just want somebody to prophesy and tell me what to do. That's for spiritual babies. That's for people that haven't developed what I'm talking about. And probably the reason you get a lot of prophecies is because you're just hard-headed. And God, out of his mercy, is trying to rescue you. The main way Christians are led, thank you for looking at me with those looks, is through the inner witness. What do you already have in your heart to do? A lot of people that come to us and want to talk about some decision they're making, they'll sit there and tell us, they'll speak out of their heart and tell us. See, whenever people are around the anointing, they tend to talk more out of their heart than their head. And they'll sit there and tell us what the Spirit of God's telling them to do. And I'll say, listen to yourself talk. You already know what to do. But you tell me what I need to do. I don't need to tell you what to do. You already know what to do. Don't depend on somebody else's ability to hear from God. Learn to depend on your own ability to hear from God. I remember years ago, I told this story, I got to tell it again. I'm not getting near as far on my notes as I plan, but that's all right. Years ago, we were ministering in healing school, Kenneth Hagin Ministries, you know, regularly there. We got real regular there. It's good to be regular. Just got to keep some awake. They're looking at me real funny this morning. But anyway, so there was a man in charge of the healing school that called us one day, and he said, there's a church that's about, what was it, an hour at Cushing, Oklahoma, about an hour and 20 minutes or so away from Tulsa, that are between pastors, and they called and they wanted to know if there's anybody around that maybe wanted to go out and preach on weekends for a while, and while we get a pastor. So this leader of the healing school there, he called us and asked us. I said, oh yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it every Sunday morning, I believe. So we started doing that. And you've heard of people that are demon possessed? Yeah. This church wasn't demon possessed. It was deacon possessed. The deacons were running everything. I mean, there was three main deacons. I mean, they was the big kahunas. And so they were so divided that we had to stay at one deacon's house one service, and the next Sunday at another deacon's house, or else this deacon get jealous. They were the most unqualified, unscriptural deacons you ever met. So we were there. We started preaching on Sundays. They started liking us. And in the process of time, they thought maybe we were their pastor. I said, no, I'm not your pastor. They liked us, I guess. Or maybe it was Pastor David's good looks. I don't know. Might have been my preaching.
Want me to be your pastor.
Yeah, and then they said, well, would you consider being our pastor? I said, oh, no. Yes. No, sir. And they kept bugging me about it, bugging me. I said, finally they said, why? I said, well, first thing I'd have to do is fire all you deacons. Right. And that would create a church split. So, no, I'm not your pastor. Well, that proved out, by the way. The next guy that they finally got in as pastor, they had a fountain out front that, you know, sprays water and kind of nice, you know, the beautiful kind of thing. And the children were trying to play in it, and there was a chance of them getting electrocuted and so forth because of the way it was rigged up, wasn't wired right. And so the pastor said, I'm shutting that down. I'm turning that off. That's too dangerous. Oh, the deacons had a cow. Man, oh, man. Nah, we paid a lot of money for that. And they ran that pastor off. I said, see, I knew I is deacon possessed. They held it. They possessed it. They controlled it. It's possessed. Anyway, so, but I'm there, and in the process of us preaching there, a man came to me, one of the deacons. He said, I have a question. I said, all right. Well, he said, there's another man coming here on Wednesday nights, because you are not able to come here, but there's another man coming here from a more local area. He's preaching on Wednesday nights, and he's preaching on prayer. I said, okay. He said, but this last two Wednesday nights, I believe it was, he said, he started preaching on roaring in the Spirit, because the devil needs to hear us roar. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and we need to roar in the Spirit at the devil. And I said, okay. See, I'm not the pastor. I'm a guest minister, basically. And I said, you haven't asked a question. You're just telling me something. Well, he said, here's my question. He said, is that God roaring in the Spirit at the devil? Is that God? I said, why do you ask? He said, well, you know, you've been to Bible school, been around Rhema, even in the healing school there for a while. You know, I'm sure maybe Brother Hagin addressed this and, you know, said whether that's God or not, and so forth and so on. So I thought I'd ask you. I said, again, the second time, why do you ask? He looked at me funny, and he repeated the same thing. You know, you've been to Bible school, been around Rhema, maybe Brother Hagin addressed it, and so forth. I said after that, third time, why do you ask? He looked at me strange and repeated it the third time.
Yeah.
I said, why do you ask?
Thank you. Come on now.
He said, why do you keep saying that? He said, my question is, I said, why do you have a question about it?
Exactly.
Why do you have a question about it? He said, well, something doesn't seem right to me. I said, that's what I'm trying to get you to. I said, the teacher's in you the whole time trying to pass it on to your spirit. You're just intellectually trying to figure it out, and you need to learn to listen down here. And I didn't tell him, if you listen down here, you'd give somebody the church and let go of it. I just didn't. But I didn't tell him that, because they weren't ready to hear that. Can you hear what I'm saying? Some people have a question. What about this? What about, why do you ask? Come on now. Well, you know, I thought maybe you studied the Bible, you would know. Well, why doesn't it sit right with you? Come on, tell your neighbor, you're getting some answers this morning. Our head might not understand why something is not right. But our head doesn't, maybe until we get the Word of God more in us, maybe we won't know why it's right, why it's not right. But as the Word of God gets in us, maybe our head will eventually catch up to what our spirit knows all along. Just learn to follow that which you have in your spirit.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Getting some help here this morning. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things your spirit already knows that your head hasn't caught up with yet. Praise the Lord. I've listened to ministers sometimes, and I'm not just critical of every other minister. That's carnality and wrong thinking. Many good ministers. But I'm just simply saying there's been times I've listened to ministers, maybe on TV or something, and it's like, well, it sounds good, but something down here is not right. Something down here is not right. I remember years ago, 10, 15 years ago, I've lost track now, there was a minister came up out of nowhere, came on the scene, was supposed to be having revival, and all these miracles and things were happening, and words of knowledge and gifts of the Spirit. And, he became the rage all of a sudden. And I'm all for God raising up people that work miracles and so forth. Don't misunderstand me. Don't, you know. And one day I was watching Christian TV, and I was watching him. He came on TV, and I'm watching him. I'm saying, something ain't right. Something is not right. Can't people recognize something isn't right? Something is not right. And somebody said, what was it? I don't know. I just know in here. See, the all-knowing one is, he's the all-knowing one. We just know what he shares with us. And sure enough, within, what was it? I don't know, it was less than a year. It wasn't long that they found out this man was had people stationed at the doors to find out, what sickness do you have? And then they'd write that down, they'd pass that on to him, and he'd call it out as if it were a word of knowledge. Came to find out he's in sin, living in sin, and he's the biggest fraud that hit the planet.
Wow.
Amen. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Something ain't right. See, your spirit will tell you those things.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I've been traveled all over the United States before we came here, doing more now. But and you get to some places, and it's like, something ain't right in this church. Something ain't right. You can go to praying about it, and you just have a witness. This pastor's not even called to be a pastor. You know, well, you can't just stand up, thus saith the Lord. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. That's wrong. I mean, baby sheep will suffer for that. You know what I'm talking about. God wants to rescue that situation without doing all that. Well, so every now and then I'll get that in my spirit, and I'll bring it around to the pastor. I said, maybe we're eating lunch or something. I say, tell me about when the Lord called you. You know, how he called you, what happened, tell me how the Lord spoke to you, so forth and so on. And then specifically about coming here and pastoring or pastoring in general. And you know those men, they can't tell you. See, they just assume something because they wanted to do something, because their real calling was to help somebody else. But they wanted to be the number one man, because I got this in my heart to teach and preach the word. Well, you can fulfill that in different ways. You can be the main number one man, or you can be the number two man, or teach a class in a church or something like that. Worship leaders have that problem.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know why I'm on all this morning.
That's good. Thank you.
I got a whole lot I want to try to get to. They think, well, I've got a worship ministry. Mine is the ministry of worship. Where's that in the Bible? I'm not saying worship. Worship is in the Bible. But where's the ministry of worship? It's not in there. It's called helps ministry. It's called helps ministry. Find somebody that God's assigned you to help and help them. Yeah, but I got a ministry where I go around and I lead worship. Well, that's helps ministry. People get confused in those things. They got their own way of thinking. And they think that they have to do certain things. That has to happen certain ways. And listen, because other people are doing that. You can't do something because somebody else is doing it. When I was preparing this service, this came up in my heart, but I didn't put it down in my notes because I didn't want to talk about this. But the Lord brought me back. I've watched people suffer for years. I've watched people suffer for decades because they don't agree with God. God said, you're supposed to help somebody else. No, I'm the main man. And I've watched them struggle financially. At times, barely have enough to eat. The church dwindled down to 20 people. I've watched their wives die. I've watched them suffer bondages and all sorts of accidents and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. And you want to go, wake up! That's not God's plan for you. Amen. I remember one time there was a pastor I preached for, and I knew he wasn't a pastor. I'm like, oh, Lord, another one. I mean, you'd be surprised. And so I didn't say anything. It's like, I'm a guest. I'm just tired of saying something. They don't listen anyway. I've never had one of them listen to me. So I said, well, I'm just leaving. I mean, after the service, after the series of meetings, I'm not saying anything. I'm just going home. And so, but anyway, a couple years later, Dr. Dufresne was preaching for him, and he came to us next. He got in the car, and first thing he said, is that man over there a pastor? I said, doctor, the way I was trained, when the general's in town, when the general's in town, the sergeant ain't got nothing to say. No, he said, I'm asking you. I'm asking you, is he a pastor?
Yeah.
I said, because I remembered over in the Old Testament, the Lord asked Ezekiel something.
Yeah.
And Ezekiel said, oh, Lord, thou knowest. So I said, Dr. Dufresne, you tell me, you know. He said, he got a little bit perturbed at me. He said, I'm asking you, you tell me what you have in your spirit. I said, doctor, I don't believe he's a pastor. He goes, I didn't think so. Now, if we can know that, why can't they know that? Because they got their mind made up. See, they got their mind made up. This is the way it is. This is the way it's going to be. I got a gift for teaching and preaching the word. Well, you can have that, but it doesn't mean you're a pastor. Pastors need a lot of people to prove themselves they're faithful,
yeah,
and they can help in a local church.
Yes.
Well, anyway, that's all free. I don't know how many people listen to it, but... And people struggle. Brother Hagin said a lot of ministers struggle because they have not yet agreed with God. I got to be the main man. Why? Well, you're the main man. And you know how many times I've asked God, just let me quit and just help somebody else? If you're really called to it, it's not like you lust for it in the flesh. Who do I need to be talking to right now? I just need... Amen. Most people that are the called to be the main man, they'd prefer to just help somebody else. I would. I mean, I wouldn't have to make all the decisions. I just, you make the decisions. Tell me what we're going to do. I'm going golfing, you know, and just, or hunting or something. Just tell me what God's saying. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Now that we've gone so much into that, praise God. You can have peace about something in your spirit and your head give you fits about it. Are you there? I said you can have peace about something in your spirit and your head give you fits about it. All right. Now, go over to Mark's gospel. Actually, go to 1 Timothy 1. No, go to Mark. We're about out of time. Go to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. This describes this battle classically. Mark chapter 4, verse number 21. He said, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, not to be set on a candlestick? There's nothing hid that shall not be manifest, not anything kept secret, but that should be made, or come, be made known, should be, or should come abroad. So, notice that term, is the candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Now, back then, they didn't have light bulbs. You understand, they didn't have electricity. So a candle was what was set in the middle of the room or set in a place, prominent place, where it could light the room.
Yeah.
And he's saying, do you put the candle up there to light the room and then put a bushel basket over it or something like that? Or do you put that candle under the bed? No, you set it up where it can shine.
Yes.
You understand? And so I believe, because of the law of first references, whenever the book of Mark here says the candle is the candle we brought to be put under a bed, so forth. I believe he's hearkening back to Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Are you still with me? In other words, it's not to be put under anything. Amen. Amen. The spirit of man, guided by the inner witness, is to be in supreme authority in you and my's life. Someone said, well, no, Jesus is in supreme authority. That's what I said. He will guide you and lead you by his spirit. He said so. Whenever it's the spirit leading you, that's Jesus leading you. And if you make the spirit Lord, he is Lord. Jesus is Lord. But people don't pay attention to what the spirit of God saith. That, he's not Lord in that situation. Now, maybe it's just because they haven't been taught. But see, we're learning here now. And so the spirit of man guided by the inner witness is to be in the supreme authority in your life, because that's the part of man that he, God, and the Holy Ghost, Jesus, so forth, will lead and guide the believer. Isn't that right? That spirit, I mean, that candle on a candlestick is your spirit dominating you. Like it's sitting up on a room, you know, to light a room, that's up in the place of dominion. That your spirit under a bushel is your spirit tucked away, maybe under the bushel basket of reasoning or rationality. Amen. Somebody said, well, something came to me and I don't know where it came from. Until you know where it came from, don't even entertain it in your mind. Because you can pick something up with your mind and you can formulate a whole plan around it and you can create something that God never even dealt with you about. So be careful about what you spend a lot of time thinking about until you have a leading in that direction. Am I helping? No, I'm not helping anybody. The Word's helping us. Amen. But the spirit under a bushel means to walk or not walk in the light that comes into your spirit due to the rational, intellectual thinking. Like that battle Pastor Debbie went through. We can all identify with that. Amen. What you and I've got to learn to do is quiet our mind. Because our mind can be busy, it can be noisy, it can have a lot of thoughts, and we can have a lot of feelings about certain things. And that's another thing. Whenever God is trying to bear witness with your spirit, don't let the emotions get involved. Because your emotions will color and taint the witness of the spirit. And it'll add things to it and take things away from it. And the rational mind will say, I can't because of this, you know, and that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, getting quiet mentally is a lot harder for a lot of people than getting quiet physically. Yeah. One of the great failures of this intellectual age that we live in is a failure to cultivate the human spirit. And intellect has really taken the throne. Intellect is the most dominant part of even many Christians' beings. And the spirit man is really left undeveloped. He doesn't really rule them. He doesn't really speak to them. He can't get across to them. I mean, he tries, but they're back over. They just hold themselves over in the rational mind. I'm not doing anything in life that I plan to do. Nothing. Nothing. So, if you're doing everything you plan to do, I wonder if that was his plan or your plan. Well, yeah, but it's so warm down south and in Hawaii and so forth. I mean, my plan is to have a church down there, you know, or move down there. What's that got to do with the leading of the Spirit? Is that God? No, that's the weather. A lot of the leadings of the Spirit can be assessed this way. How much self or self-gratification or fleshly gratification do I get out of this? Oh, Pastor, you just cut my legs out from under me. Well, I can tell there's not enough function to keep going on that one. Hallelujah. Now, all right, so go back now to, I was going to have you go back there before we turn there to 1 Timothy, chapter number 1, 19. I'm almost done. Of course, you've heard that before, too. This is not just a little problem. Do you realize that the Bible says in Romans 8, 6, and 7 that the carnal mind is enmity with God? That's not just a little problem. Enmity with God means the enemy and directly opposed to God. And if you don't like the King James, listen to the Amplified. It says, the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reasoning without the Holy Spirit, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God. This is not just a little problem. This is being hostile to God's plan. Okay, thank you for that enthusiasm. All right. 1 Timothy 1:19. I'm going to read the Amplified. By rejecting and thrusting, I only wrote part of the verse down, I apologize. By rejecting and thrusting from them their conscience, some individuals have made shipwreck of their faith. So what he's saying, you'll injure your faith if you push from you what comes up out of your spirit. See, your conscience is the voice of your spirit. So when you and I push from us what comes up out of our spirit to enlighten our mind, we push it away and say, oh, I can't do that. I mean, and then we start giving reasons why. When we do that, he said here that we will injure our faith. Did you see that? You keep doing that and you eventually are not going to have any faith at all. Because your conscience is bothering. You cannot exercise faith with a guilty conscience. Or something you can't exercise faith against what you know in your conscience.
That's right. Amen.
If you know the Lord led you, and you go blah 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 blah, and I'm going to use my faith over here. You can go through the motions of using your faith over here. You can impress everybody that you're making confessions of faith over here, but it's not going to work.
That's right.
I think we haven't made that clear in some people's. Well, I'm just not going to get an operation. Blah, 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 blah. And the Lord says, have an operation. You have a witness. That's where the peace is. That's where the light is. That's where you can see you, that you can get through this and so forth and so on. Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to have an operation. I don't want to have. I'm believing God.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Well, you can go through the motions and you can impress everybody that you're believing God. But see, we're not the ones that answer your prayer. We're not the ones that bring it to pass. He is, and he knows. I already spoke to him what to do. Not trying to preach operations and everybody should have an operation. Sure beats dying. Hallelujah. Don't injure your faith. A lot of Christians' faith is injured because of their own doing. Because of their own mind ruling them. Amen. When it comes to your mind and what comes up out of your spirit to your mind, it's simply to enlighten your mind so you can act on it. It's not passed to your mind so you can analyze it. It's passed through your mind, but it's to be untainted, you know, in that process of passing through your mind so you can know what to do. It's supposed to pass through, but it's to be untainted by your mental analysis. You all there? Doesn't need your mental analysis to work. It just needs your faith. And your faith is of your heart. To live by faith, you got to, you know, live out of what you have in the inner witness. And then what you have peace about in your spirit. Hallelujah. Now, this is what I've been trying to get to the whole service. Aren't you glad I finally got here? You remember Romans 12:2? It says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. One of the things that starts happening when your mind begins to be renewed, one of the transformations that starts coming into your life is that your mind no longer tries to dominate your spirit, man. Amen. That is so important for you to understand. In other words, when your spirit man rises up to enlighten your mind to show, because the inner witness, God, the Holy Spirit, is in there witnessing with your spirit, trying to enlighten your mind to show you what to do. When your spirit, when that comes up to your mind and your mind no longer argues with that, it no longer fusses, it no longer picks it up and goes, well, if I did that, then how would that work? What would happen with that? And what would that person think? And if your mind no longer does that, it's time to have a party.
Yes.
Get some whistles, some party hats. You are growing up.
Amen.
Amen. Woohoo! Yoo-hoo! Let's have a party. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's an indication your mind is being renewed. I don't know if you get. Did you get that? Let's stop going to each other saying, I got this in my heart, but man, let's stop doing that.
Yeah.
That's just reinforcing that and that mental analysis.
Yeah.
Now, there's times I say to my mind, because something will come up out of my heart, and I'll say to my mind, I'm getting ready to do something you're not going to understand. But you come along for the ride. And you're not going to fight me. We're not going to have a pity party. You're not going to cry. You're not going to get emotional. You're not going to... Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. Because my spirit's more robust now than it used to be. And my mind's not controlling me like it used to. And then I'll say, now, you might not understand now. But the day will come you'll understand. And you might not like it right now because your mind's trying to figure things out. When your mind's trying to figure things out and it doesn't understand, it gets pouty.
Yes.
Especially if you're continuing to do it and your mind doesn't understand. And your mind will get pouty and it'll try to fuss with you and it'll start to... And this is where arguments come into the marriage and all kinds of stuff, you know, because your mind's pouty. But I always tell my mind, you come along. You might not like it for a while. You might not understand it. But you come along for the ride, and whenever we get to the other side of this, you're going to be glad we did this. You got to talk to yourself. David talked to himself in the Old Testament. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You ever read that? He's talking to his soul. You need to talk to your soul. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you know that verse, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing mind? Now, notice, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In other words, to get into that best, that perfect... it requires that we live out of what comes up out of our spirits. And we don't listen just to our unrenewed mind telling us we can't do that. Or we ain't doing that. I've been sitting in church before and the Lord said, give this amount of money. And I've learned not to just fuss with that in my mind anymore. Because the mind will always tell you, but you know what's coming due, and you know this, and you know that, and you know this. And if you get in your mind, you'll never be obedient. You'll never be obedient. I'm not trying to, I mean, the offering's already received, so I'm not trying to get an offering this morning. You know how it is. And don't hesitate. You know, the slower you are, the slower you are to respond to these things, the more opportunity you give the devil to talk you out of what God said. That's why Joshua said to Israel, whenever they were, you remember, 10 spies came back and gave a bad report. We can't. They got giants and walls. He said, there's their mind. Rational. God had already said, go possess it. And there, they started down that rabbit trail of thinking why they, and explaining why they couldn't do it, and their minds trying to tell everybody why they couldn't do it. And Joshua said something very key. We need to hear this. Let us go up, here's the next two words, at once. At once, and possess it. In other words, let's not sit here and think about this. Because the longer we sit here and think about this, the more we're going to talk ourselves out of doing what God said. There's a lot of people disobedient for one reason. It's because they let the devil talk them out of it because they didn't just respond to the Spirit. They let time pass and their mind try to rationalize, well, you know, God knows that we have this due. And come on, amen. Tell your neighbor, just obey. Don't give the devil time to talk you out of it. Just obey. Hallelujah. Paul said, I buffet my body. And that's the same thing you got to do with your mind. You got to grab your mind and say, listen, you're coming along with me. You're not dominating me anymore. You've dominated me from the day I was, you know, 18 years old or whatever, 15 years old. And you ever notice the children, they're more pliable to the Spirit of God. And then they get to the teenage years and their mind starts becoming dominant. We've all gone through that phase. We got to get to the place where we wean ourselves back off of that. Figuring everything out. Now, that doesn't mean we're dumb and make stupid decisions. We're talking about when the inner witness is telling you something else other than what your mind knows. We could spend a lot more time on that than we are. Stand with me to your feet. Hallelujah. 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 The loudest voice is not always the right voice. What do I mean by that? You remember when Peter was walking on the water? He saw the wind. What was the next word?
Boisterous.
That's the way the devil talks. Loud. You remember God in the Old Testament whenever Elijah has a pity party and he said, I'm the only one. God said, no, there's 7,000. Remember that? And you remember God said, Elijah, go over here into this cave. So he went over there. And then there came an earthquake and a wind and a fire. Said God wasn't in those. You know, those things create a lot of moving, a lot of shaking, a lot of visible display, a lot of stuff out here. Rocks shaking and falling. Earthquake, wind. And God wasn't in them. But then there came a still small voice. He said God was in that still small voice. Oh. The loudest voice isn't always the one that you need to follow. Amen. Whether it's a person, whether it's, you know, your head just screaming at you. When I went to Bible school, there was a loud voice in my mind, number one, kept telling me, you don't have time to go to Bible school. Man, people going to hell, you need to get them saved. I know that sounds strange. You don't have time to prepare. Just get out there. I mean, God's called you. Get out. See, my mind was just screaming. And then people were saying to me, Bible school? Why do you go to Bible school? I mean, and people were trying to talk. So I had to learn not to talk to as many people. You understand what I'm talking about? Because they'll try to talk you out of what God's saying. People don't have what God's saying for you. A lot of times. Unless they're spiritual. But amen. So it's not always the loudest voice. It's not always... It's always a still, small voice. It's always, you just know. When you get quiet, there it is again.
Yeah.
You ever been there?
Yeah.
During your day when your mind's busy, you're not that conscious of it. You get quiet, you lay down in bed, or when you first wake up in the morning, there it is again. There it is again. Pops up. Oh, God, show me what to do. Pop. Lord, show me what to do. Push it down. Pop. There it just keeps popping up. Eventually, we need to say, God, is that you? And he's going to say, duh. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. It just keeps coming to you. Just keeps coming to you. And when it doesn't come until you get quiet. You ever notice that? That's a clue. Because when you're busy, your mind's going and there's no channel open. No channel in your mind. One channel's on the kids. One channel's on the finances. One channel's on that stupid person down there to work. Another channel. But when you get quiet and there comes a channel open in your mind, bloop, there it comes up to your mind again. Huh. Ringy dingy. Glory, glory, glory. Anybody renewing your mind this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Lift your hands. Thank you, Father. Thank you for answers this morning. Thank you for direction this morning. Thank you for the counsel of your word. Hallelujah. We bless you. 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 I was driving to a church this morning and the Lord spoke to me. I would say it was an inner combination of an inner witness and then something he said. But he said to me, there's two, one's a couple, one's a single person, that are going to hear what you're saying. In fact, close your eyes just for a minute. I'm going to hear what you're saying and they're going to misunderstand. Yes, Lord, how much can I say? Okay, yes, thank you, Lord. And the Lord's saying to me, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Both of them have to do, I can say this much. Thank you, Lord. Both of them have to do with moving from this area to another area. And you could hear what I'm saying this morning and take it wrong, the Lord said. He said, tell them not to get in a hurry. Not to get in a hurry, because more will come to light. More will come to light as you just pray and seek God, and then you'll understand completely and won't put your own interpretation on it. Hallelujah. And yes, Lord, thank you. I'll tell them. And the Lord's saying to me, tell them, it's not that they're not hearing from me. It's that right at the season where they are now, where they are now walking with me, they would put their wrong interpretation. They would put their own interpretation on it. So it's not that they're not hearing from me, the Lord says to me. It's that they, at this season, are putting their own interpretation on it. And as they just keep walking the path that he has in front of them, eventually more light will come. More light will come. And you'll say, ah, I would have put my own interpretation on that, but now I see. Now I see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. I didn't know how to say it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for helping me. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Do you remember I said December of 17, I believe it was, 2017, I said I was praying, because I always pray about the new year. And I was praying about the new year. Lord, what do we do? Anything you want us to change? So forth. And I had this sense come up out of my spirit of, I have a sense of completion. Something's been finished. And when that came up in my mind, went, you know, like, oh, am I moving? What, you know? And I learned, no, don't do that. Shut that down. Just look down. Wherever that came from, keep looking and something else will come up. You understand what I'm talking about? We hear something and then we get in our mind. Don't do that. Just keep listening to where that came up. Or else we're going to get off, you know. And I said, Lord, what is that? That sense, I have a sense of completion. And I just kept my mind shut down and looked down. And he spoke to me. He said, you have preached faith, the message of faith in this congregation, and you'll continue to preach the message of faith. He said, I'm giving you, and you to a degree completed that. He said, now I'm giving you a new assignment to train this congregation in the things of the Spirit. Remember that? Boy, I'm glad I waited for the rest of that. I'd have put my own interpretation on that. Because I'm going to obey God. But, you know, people get a little bit of light, just enough to be dangerous with something, and you know, put their own interpretation on before you know it. They're going off in left field. Amen. This is good practical preaching this morning. Good practical help. And so, you know, if I had to put my own interpretation on that, I'd said something to Pastor. I'd say, Pastor Debbie, good Lord, but I said, we're done. We're done here, pastoring. You know, the Lord would have checked us and kept us. He would have tried to get us from thinking wrong about it eventually. But praise the Lord. Anyway, did you get any help this morning? I myself am getting some help and some thanks. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have the potential to never miss it again. We have that potential. I'm moving for that potential. I'm not perfect yet. Anybody in here perfect yet? I'm not perfect yet, but I'm moving in that direction. Glory. I'm not making the mistakes I used to make. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give God a shout this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God, praise God, praise God. And you got to know timing on things. We were talking about, you know, let us go up at once and possess it. There are things you'll have a sense. I know I'm getting a sense of what it is, but I don't have the timing on it yet. You know, not some of the littler things, but some of the bigger moves and so forth and so on. You got to get the timing of things. A lot of times if we move too quickly, we'll try to do it in the flesh and mess it all up. I'm trying to close. I'm just trying to get unhooked from down here. Hallelujah. And we think, well, I got a sense about this. Well, you can sense things sometimes years in advance. I do. In fact, that's a pattern with me. Usually I start sensing some of these bigger moves within 2 years in advance. Amen. How many of you know God's not in necessarily a hurry sometimes? He might deal with some people differently than that. Some people that have a more impromptu nature. You know what I'm they just hear one little thing, they're going to jump just, I mean, God's halfway done saying it and they're already jumping, you know. Those kind of people, he might not give them 2 years in advance. But that's not my nature. I'm more of a plotter. You know what I mean? I don't know about you, but you gotta recognize the patterns of God with you. I'm learning the patterns with me. You learn the patterns of God with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Lift your hands again. Give God some thanks this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Say it out loud. I have an unction. It's already on the inside. I have an unction. It is my guide. I have an unction. The ability to see what is ahead that the Lord has prepared for me. I'm going to walk in the Lord, walk in the victory, because I'm going to follow Him, and my life will go from glory to glory, and not grow more dim. The light will shine on my path, and the glory on my way, and I'll see more than I've ever seen in my Father each and every day. Oh, Father, I'm so thankful that you are my heavenly Father indeed. And with all that is your will, I've decided to agree. Ha, ha, ha. I'm moving on with my Father. And He's leading me true. I'll not go in ways of error. But go on through. I'll hear that voice from heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful one. You've run the race. You've finished the course. You're done. Ha ha ha. Well done, thou good and faithful one. Enter into the glory of the Lord. Come sup with me, and all my blessings afford. Ha, 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 ha. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to follow. Praise God. Praise God. Woo! Glory be. to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise be to God. Amen. I'm not saying you do. I'm asking. Do the singers have anything? If you do, good. If not, we'll do some training on the spot. If I say, do you have anything, you might or you might not. But if I say you have something, that means you do.
Hallelujah. Stay in that same flow.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
I have an unction and I know. I have an unction and I know. I have an unction and I know. By your spirit I will follow, because I am led by the Lord. I have an unction and I know. By your spirit I will follow, because I am led by the Lord. I have an unction and I know. By your spirit I will follow, because I am led by the Lord. I have an unction and I know. By your spirit I'll follow, because I am led by the Lord. One more time. I have an unction and I know. By your spirit I'll follow, because I am led by the Lord. I have an unction and I know. By your spirit I'll follow, because I am led by the Lord. I won't let my mind stop me. I won't let the thoughts turn me from what the Lord has said. I won't let my mind stop me, or the thoughts to turn me. I will stay with the leading of the Lord. I have an unction. I have an unction and I know. By my spirit I'll follow, because I am led by the Lord. I have an unction and I know. By my spirit I'll follow, because I am led by the Lord. I have an unction and I know. By my spirit I'll follow, because I am led by the Lord. I have an unction and I know. By my spirit I'll follow, because I am led by the Lord. As I take the time to learn and read the word, I'll learn your voice more and more. As I take the time in the Word and I learn your voice, I'll know more and more what to do. 'Cause I have an unction and I know. By your Spirit I'll follow, because I am led by the Lord. I have an unction and I know. By the Spirit I'll follow, because I am led by the Lord. One more time. I have an unction and I know. By your Spirit I'll follow, because I am led. Yeah. I'm led by the teacher, because he lives inside of me. I have an unction, and I know by your spirit I'll follow, because I am led by the Lord. I have an unction, and I know by the spirit I'll follow, because I am led by the Lord. I have an unction, and I know by the spirit I'll follow, because
those are good confessions, amen. Rather than saying, I don't know what to do, I have an unction, and I know. Your head will say, no, you don't. You say, shut up. I know. Amen. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So I know. I know. Hallelujah. Amen. The Holy Spirit wants to live bigger on the inside of us. He's the greater one, but he wants to live bigger. And this is one of the ways he gets to live bigger. And this is another key. What we're teaching this morning is the key to the move of the Spirit. It's a key to Holy Ghost meetings. It's a key to God getting his way. Hallelujah.